Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Welcome everybody to the Experience Grind podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences that we've learned along the way. My name is Sean, and I'm on hosting duty this week. And with me, joined on this fine episode, we've got Brian.
It's a me, Brian.
We've got Kyle.
I don't know why, but at this date and time, I feel like talking about Jared Fogle.
Ooh. Stay tuned for this Friday. Maybe. I don't know. And we've got the other one that sounds like Ian, but it's Ryan.
Hi, guys. I really like that. I like the pronunciated
bruh.
It's really good.
I'm Brian.
I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. I didn't jump in on accident. It's good.
I'm glad that you just made mention of that so that people that are listening don't think that I have this, like, this necessity to just I'm gonna do this.
He's got a thing about his bees.
I wish we filmed so that people could see, like, every time you ask Brian or Ryan a question, they both are like it's like the guys from the What Is Love skit on SNL. Like,
me, yes.
Me, him, me, him, me, me,
him, mean, him,
me,
me,
me, we should buy a boat. Boys, I wanted to do a little bit of a pivot. I wanted to pull the friends here and get my friends together and pivot away from movies for a week. And see how many times I can just, like, really crank that one home. Who wants to be Ross?
Nobody wants to be Ross.
He's the worst.
That's fair.
I will be any of the three ladies before I want to be Ross.
So Ross
if
is at the bottom.
There, chimpanzee. Yep. I'd rather be the chimpanzee.
Ross is at the bottom.
Mm. I'd rather be the sofa that they're trying to pivot.
Oh. The naked man across the street. I would rather be
naked guy.
Naked guy. Guys, I wanted to get away from movies. I really didn't want to have to watch a movie this week. Unlike Ryan and his, like, movie escapade from last year. I'm like, nope. I've already watched three this year. I'm done. And instead,
that three's enough.
I wanted to dive into something that was a little bit easy, but I feel like there's infinite possibilities here and really pulls back some of that wallpaper that's covering the rustic experiences underneath. You know, just scraping off that wallpaper and just showing us raw. I don't know why I keep clicking, but anyways. I wanted to ask you guys to bring to the table two games from your past. I will take any interpretation of however you take games from your past that you still think about to this day for some rhyme or reason. It doesn't have to be every day, but for some reason, this game comes to your mind every now and again. I think we all have a game like that, whether it be nostalgia or, you know, you're chasing that dragon of a game. I don't know why I made a drug reference there, but maybe we're pulling back the wallpaper to my...
There's a real monkey on my back about this game.
Guys, was
it... A real Donkey Kong on your back.
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. I've got to ask, was... This very difficult for you guys to come up with two measly games to bring to this show?
No, because there was no pressure on it being like a formative game or an important game or my favorite game. It was like two games that I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the odds are with the, if you didn't listen last week, there was the prerequisite or amendment to it that it couldn't have Final Fantasy VII could not be part of this list, Brian was not on last week's episode, and he's frantically scribbling on a piece of paper. Shit.
Oh, no, not the only Final Fantasy game I've ever played.
My man.
I'm curious to see if there's any at all overlap here, and I highly doubt it.
I'd be very surprised.
That's awesome. I'm very hyped to hear about these, and who knows how long this will go on, so I do want to just kick it off and start right off the bat. Ryan, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I've got one, and going back to before we started recording, Brian was like, I'm not going to be maybe good with this because I don't know how many video games I'm going to know, and I think I've got some obscure ones here that not a lot of people are going to know, and I'll kick off with maybe the most obscure one. It's a Nintendo game called Ninja Crusaders, and it is not good. it's Ninja Gaiden at light at best. It's whatever, but it's one of those things where you play it at the right time and it forms a lasting memory. And what it is a co-op ninja game. As one player, this game's kind of whatever. One hit kills makes it extremely brutal. But with two players, when you die, you just pop another life and come in. And what caught me about this and what I thought was really cool is that as you go, you pick up four different weapons a la Contra. You just pick up power-ups and you get like a new weapon. So you get like shurikens that you can throw, the Kasaragama. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like the little mini scythes on chains ninjas have.
Oh, nice.
You get those, the bow staff, and a sword. And then each one gives you a different, like, animal transformation that lets you then peruse the environment in different ways, get new attacks. And it's really, really cool for that reason. And I remember spending so long on this game with, like, a friend. And I don't even remember the fucking friend I played this with now. That should tell you about the memory, but
that's how cool.
This game better stuck than with that me. Friend.
I can't even tell you who he was now, looking back. I can't remember the friend. I can remember vague details about the house in this game. So, maybe I'm a sociopath, sure.
No.
But I do remember Ninja Crusaders, and I often think of it, and for the longest time, I still can't remember the name because it's like super generic. And I'm just like, what's that fucking co-op game that's not Ninja Gaiden? And I have to like really go on like a Google hunt, and like it takes me so long to get to it again. I'm like, oh, that's it. And I have like a nice little revelation every time.
A little
so
brain wrinkle.
This was one like when you asked this question, I knew immediately. I was like, this one pops up so much.
That's so awesome. We're all in the same general age range here, and ninjas were super fucking cool when we were younger.
Still are.
Also still are. Thank you.
Yeah, ninjas have always been cool. Come on.
Dating back to Jesus Christ, ninjas were fucking foul. Mm-hmm.
The OG ninja.
We all like...
Except he didn't dodge that on the rib very well.
Oops.
Jesus, man.
He had this really cool helmet with shooting stars. Anyways, so we all made our own throwing stars as kids, right? Like we tried to.
The origami ones?
Origami, or like took like wood chips and just like scraped them down. I had connects. Yo, dang. I had connects that I would, I'd take the thin straight pieces, make like a cross on them, and then it had the triangle piece, and I put it on both sides.
Very, man,
that would fuck somebody up.
Very similar to the South Park episode. I bought actual ninja stars at the fair one year, and I would throw them into like cardboard boxes until I missed once and it hit the wall. And I was like, oh, these stick in the wall real awesome. Oh. So then I just threw them all over my bedroom wall.
Oh, no.
And then my mom got real pissed.
See,
but they were awesome, dude.
Moms hate
they
that
stuck
kind of stuff.
So good in drywall. They were just like, psh.
I thought you were going to go the route of where, like what happened to me as kids, because that same little constructor thing that I made, I would throw it at a piece of cardboard that I would like, you know, prop up against the basement wall. And until the moment that you miss, and like the bottom, the top half was like all insulation, you know, paper covered insulation. We aren't like monsters, but the bottom half was concrete and you miss and something just ricochets back at you. And you do that whole like jump.
The jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like pulling your foot up like
Make you think twice about doing that shit again.
I've never heard of that game, Ryan, but I do want to check it out.
So. I immediately Googled it when you said it, and the artwork reminds me of the Power Rangers.
That's okay.
Dude, specifically it looks like Turbo. The movie when they had the ninja costumes, which makes sense.
Yes, it does. Tracks. Yes, it does.
I wrote down the name, so I want to check it out.
Yeah, I went straight to the wiki, and I had that exact same thought with that like Red Ranger on front. Of course it's red. Like, everybody... Why did everybody like red?
And whatever the giant purple-pink thing in the background is, kind of looks like it could be a Megazord.
Yeah. With, like, two birds and a really, really ferocious, like, intensely staring lion. Don't know what's up with that, but its eyes are beady as fuck.
Could be the clitoris, too.
Oh no.
Ryan, I had no idea.
You said it was a pink monster. I haven't looked at it. I was just making a joke.
Oh, I like how Kyle's just fantasy booking what this box art looks like based on what we're I wish right now we could describe a box art to Kyle and have him draw almost like he's a police sketch artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sketch can live on Patreon, where people can go pay dollar and listen to bonus episodes and see Kyle's doodles. Oh, what an idea.
Box art would definitely have a clitoris, though.
With that name. Clearly.
Like, this is the 90s. Box. We had penises on The Little Mermaid, too. So
because it's box.
Ryan, I had no idea what order I was going to do mine in because it's from like drastically different eras, but I'm glad that you went the NES route because that's actually where one of mine is from. And
nice.
Mine's this little game I'm sure everybody's heard of called Bubble Bobble.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how, I don't know why. But I think about that game way more than I should for what it is. And, dudes, I often will just find myself sitting there going like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and just like humming the theme song to the first level. And, yeah, it like the song's super catchy. They're always coming. They're always popping into my brain. The sound effects of just like shooting out the water bubbles. If you listeners don't know what this game is, it's about like two little dinosaur looking things called Bub and Bob who can spit water bubbles out and then they can bounce on them. And the whole goal is to clear the screen of all of the enemies. And then the enemies explode and become fruit and watermelons. It's weird.
It's very...
You're doing a lot of screen wrapping, but it's basically 100 levels of like just clearing these as they get progressively harder. Now, this was like one of the first games that I played that was like truly co-op. And I played a lot with my sister as a kid. And I remember playing one day without her and getting almost to the very end and beating the boss and finding out you can't even truly beat the game unless you're playing it co-op, which is just like back then was so mind-blowing to me. And even now, how often do you get a game like that where it gives you the option, but it's like, oh, you're a loser. You can't beat this game on your own.
What, do you not have any friends?
Yeah.
Dork.
What an idiot. But yeah. This game, I think about it way more than I should. I have it downstairs. Every time I see like a remaster or a newer version of it come out, like Bubble Bobble for Friends came out. I don't know. It feels like yesterday, but it was probably like 10 years ago at this point.
I was going to ask if you'd played Puzzle Bobble Every Bubble.
I haven't.
Is that? I think it came out like 2 years ago for the Switch.
Oh, I wasn't playing Switch at that time, but now I am again. Let's go.
Does it have Busta Move on there too?
Busta Rhymes?
No, Busta Move. That's like the other version with the characters from Bubble Bobble, where like you bounce the ball off the. It's like Tetris. There's things dropping, and they're all different colored balls.
Interesting.
You know what I'm talking about?
I just looked up Puzzle Bobble, Heavy Bubble, and it looks like it's Busta Move.
Okay, tight.
So, yeah. It's that.
I liked that game a lot too, though, Sean, growing up.
Yeah.
My stepbrother had it, and I remember playing it with him. He was way older than me, and I thought that was cool that he wanted to play that with me. And we didn't beat it because it is 100 levels, but I do have fond memories of that game.
Mm-hmm. And if you have beaten it, I don't think, like, there's a point where a balloon, or not a balloon, but an umbrella drops and you can snag that and you, like, flash through 10 levels really quick. Tied. You do a lot of skipping in that game. It's kind of like taking a warp pipe in Mario. Nobody ever plays the full 100 levels. I was going to ask, though, Ryan, I completely forgot. Did you ever play that Ninja Crusaders with a Game Genie?
No, because it was at the friend's house, and maybe I didn't think to bring my Game Genie. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because we just rented it and I wasn't expecting it.
Sure.
I had a Game Genie, just never did it with that game.
Don't know why I thought of that. And I was just curious.
All honesty, it was one, it with two people, it wasn't too brutal. It was one, you just put in a few hours and you could play through it. It unlike Bubble Bobble, it wasn't rough. It wasn't too rough.
Well, you mentioned music, Sean, which got me to pop on mine because, I'm also, this one is probably my most outside the box one. This one and the bonus one we'll do on Patreon are both more traditional, but you said, you could interpret game any way you wanted and board games were on the table. And this board game has probably been in my mind at least once a week. If not at some point every day, since I first heard the commercial when I was 8 years old for a little game with two BBs called Crossfire, you'll get caught up in the Crossfire. Tell me that song doesn't just bore its way into the middle of your brain, boys.
Crossfire, you'll get caught up in it.
3 seconds ago, so thanks.
Yeah, but like for real, I'll just be sitting somewhere and you'll hear Crossfire, some sort of reference, and I'm like, I go through the whole theme song. I think about that game constantly. So, you know, like I said, a little bit more outside the box, but as soon as you posted this question to us, that was the very first thing I thought of. I was like, Crossfire, y'all got caught up in the... So yeah, I mean, not super exciting, but you guys are also all familiar with that. You all are smiling.
Crossfire!
Yeah. It fucking rips, dude.
So it definitely good. Hits so a very good. Specific yeah. age range. If you say Crossfire, like, everybody knows what you're talking about. Everybody.
It was the coolest commercial of all time. They were riding the game pieces over a pit of fire, guys.
There was so much fire.
They had leather jackets, dude.
It was early 90s. Very 90s. In the best way.
Yes, yeah, you'll so get awesome, caught dude. Up in it.
Yeah. There was, so there you go.
You were playing in the pit of hell. I win.
So, Kyle, for anybody
the other guy's burning alive.
Anybody who is outside of that very specific age range, what is that game about?
There was a triangle piece and a saw blade piece that had two bigger, like, steel bar ball bearings in holding, like, in the middle of them. And they spun around this table, and then there were two guns mounted on each side that had this little angled downspout lip that you put a bunch of smaller BBs in up top, and each of you had a different game piece that you shot the BBs at and tried to shoot it. It was like soccer with BBs and cool-looking 90s geometric shapes.
It was like a super dope version of foosball.
Yeah,
kinda.
Yeah, it was like...
If foosball had machine guns?
Just the marketing
air hockey
was.
With machine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, guys, I don't think it can be sold any harder.
No.
Note
one
that
of the game pieces was a saw blade, and that was the coolest part. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Note that makes me think of is also around that time in the 90s. Brian, you might have had one of these. I definitely did. I think it's still a thing for some reason. But I had, and obviously you can go to different IP brandings or whatever, but I had a Power Ranger, like the power thing, like they put up their hand and it goes,
Morpher.
But the symbol, the icon thing, you twist it and you squeezed it and it would pop down and it would spin the top shooter thing. And you would try to battle with somebody else to see whose top would stay up longer.
I remember those.
I think that's still a thing somehow.
Oh, I think I had it too. It was a set and it came with a bunch of the tops and the tops had like the different characters and villains on it.
Yeah. Yes. I think it was like this big red circle. It was like a Beyblade type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was before. It was before.
It was before.
That's like in the land of Pogs.
That's the thing that, and it was so cool. I hear is the thing now. Somebody mentioned Beyblades, and I'm like, "What is that?" And they explained it. I was like, "I had that, but
I had that when I was a kid, but it wasn't Beyblades. Yeah,
it was Power Rangers."
Yep, I think I had that same set too.
I remember seeing kids that had it.
I didn't think about it till now. That's such a nice
memory. You just like rip the cord out of it, and it would send the thing spinning. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You guys did so much better explaining that than I did, but I'm glad that Kyle brought up Crossfire because it made me think of that and it made me smile. That's not my game number two, though.
I'm smiling now, too.
My game number one is actually similar to some of the things that have been mentioned. You mentioned music. You mentioned Game Genie, but also Sean and Ryan, you both mentioned Nintendo games, but I grew up a Genesis kid.
Oh,
and what Genesis did, I'm kind of cheating here because what I'm picking is technically two games, but technically also developed as one game, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles.
Oh, nice. Oh. Nice. Yeah.
So you get that Game Genie functionality with the lock-in
the double stack,
which was also awesome because you could play Sonic 2 and Knuckles, which just meant you could play Sonic 2 as Knuckles, or you could play Sonic and Knuckles as Tails.
Wait. Just pump the brakes.
What?
Hold on. Wait, so this second cartridge... I am broken right now. This second cartridge basically just held the code for Knuckles, and you could just put a different Sonic game in it, and it just...
No, Sonic and Knuckles was a completely separate game.
Yeah.
But when you combined Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, you got the full overarching story of Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Oh. And as a bonus, if you plugged in Sonic 2 instead of Sonic 3, you could play with Knuckles in the Sonic 2 levels.
Yeah. Or you could unlock Tails for the Sonic and Knuckles levels. Yeah. Because Sonic and Knuckles did not feature Tails.
That is so freaking cool, man.
Yeah, it was really cool technology.
It was good stuff. Also, if you plugged in other Genesis cartridges, it would unlock a little mini game called Blue Sphere, which is basically just the bonus levels from Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, but with like 128 million different variations.
That's awesome.
I feel like you could just play that all day.
Easily. But also the Blue Sphere minigame kind of sucks. it's fine. As far as the minigames go, like, it's better than the mazes from Sonic 1. It's better than the tunnel from Sonic 2.
Is the worst. I like the tunnel.
The tunnel's fun, but I do prefer... They get hard. But so do some of these...
Sure.
These...
The Sonic
sphere mazes. The 3D... Because they originally wanted to develop Sonic 3 as, like, a 3D game. And they're like, oh, we don't have enough time because we got to get out these McDonald's toys. We have a contract with McDonald's. So they actually had to split up the game into Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles to meet their Happy Meal deadline.
Sonic 3 is the one that Michael Jackson did some of the soundtracks for.
The music connection.
There we go. It's really fucking cool stuff.
Really cool stuff. And they've denied Michael Jackson's inclusion in the soundtrack for years.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
now you'll notice that like Sonic 3 hasn't been re-released as much as some of the other Sonic games. And it's because... A lot of people assume it's because they have issues clearing the rights with the estate.
Interesting. Yeah. Was there some like big legal thing stemming from that? Or is it all just kind of...
A lot of it's weird because it depends on where you look for information, because some of it's like Michael Jackson didn't like the way it sounded on the Genesis, so he walked away. And then there's other people who are like, allegations exactly. came out about Michael Jackson and Sega was like, we don't want to work with him anymore. But then they also didn't really throw away the work he did.
Hmm.
But
yeah, they did like adapt it. There's a lot of cool YouTube things that do like they'll show you like what Michael Jackson did and everything.
Yeah.
We'll link it.
Yeah. In the show description.
In the Discord, yeah.
And in the Discord, of course, in the Discord.
Come join somewhere. Us in Discord, yeah.
If we remember to link. But yeah, just a game that, it was one of the first games that I ever beat as a kid. Sonic 3, not necessarily Sonic and Knuckles, because that part was a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Just beating a Sonic game in general, dude.
Dude, so hard.
Yeah, dude, those get so hard.
Was this a rental or did you buy it?
Oh, I bought it. This is what I owned. Okay. I own both of them still to this day. They're upstairs with my Genesis.
That's freaking
you can still gorgeous, plug man. That Sonic 3 into the Sonic and Knuckles, blow on both of them, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But dude, that game I think about all the time because it is kind of my beginning point for video games.
Tight, yeah. Man. That special perfect. Spot. What a weird, unique one to go in on, too. So,
yeah.
I love that. I really
and Sonic
love that.
3 had that carnival level. Come on,
that music's so good,
so good.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the Sonic 3 music's so good.
Ice Cap Zone with a snowboard.
Michael
come
Jackson.
On.
I feel like
that's my favorite.
A good lot stuff. Of the Sonic music in general is just so, like, it's very hard to get a bad one. Yep. I think the only time that you come across like some bad Sonic music is when you hear. Like the underwater themes and dun 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 dun.
Anxiety. Dude, that was my alarm in college to wake up.
Oh my god,
dude, it worked.
I bet. Yeah, I guess
I woke
it did.
Up having gosh. A you took panic attack every morning.
Years off your life doing that. I hope you know.
I just went into a cold sweat, like putting myself back into how I felt as a child whenever that came on, and like my hands are freaking and I can't work them anymore.
These sound effects, guys, are making it too real. Well, so I've got a kind of tangent there, mostly going off of the technology and being impressed by like that plug and play and how that's just not really done anymore. Again, I'm going with the game I'm pretty sure nobody here has played and probably nobody who listens to this will have played. But boy, did it stick with me. And like, honestly, just the technology did. And if I'm cheating, it's that. But like. I am a Virtual Boy apologist. I think it is a fucking fantastic system. I spent so much of my hard-earned saved money up to buy it, and it, I think, got canceled essentially, like, within the week I bought it, saying we're not gonna make any more games for it. And it was so sad. There's only, like, maybe 10 games released in America, maybe 14 tops. It's not many. But one of them is a game that's been sadly just abandoned on the system, and it's so fucking good. It's Virtual Boy Wario Land.
Yep.
And if you played any of the Wario Land games on, like, the Game Boy, it's a 3D version of that, and it's really fantastic. I think if you played the Wario Land games, it has, this one has some of the most creative level designs, some of the best bosses, and it just has, like, a charm to it that... I don't know, made me kind of love it. It's very 90s in that, like, Wario is the crass Mario. He's the Mario with the toed. And I don't know. There's something
Mario
nostalgic about it.
Mario's
yeah, great. I've got a soft spot for Wario still because of that.
Mm-hmm. Can't and you?
This is what I think about so much. I love the Virtual Boy. My eyes still work fine. And I was in that sucker. Hours
for hours
longer than I was supposed to be.
That's the one where like can't Mario go into the background and the foreground and like he gets really small.
Yeah,
it's got the 3D aspect. Yeah.
And there's bosses that play with that, like ones that'll throw things at you that you'll have to catch and then throw back at them and time it just right with that, you know, three dimensional play. It's really cool. It's really creative, and it's stuck forever on this thing that's never gonna get emulated, it seems, which is a bummer because it's a legit cool game, and man, I think about it so much.
What's wild is I was looking into Virtual Boys a couple of years ago, again, a couple of years ago, it was probably like 10 years ago. But man, back when I was looking into them, you could get the Virtual Boy and all 22 games for like $300.
Oh, it's a 22.
Like $300, like next to nothing. And this is before, like, it almost goes in cycles. It's like, all right, NES, this is the one that's going to get stupid expensive. And then the price goes down a little bit. And then the next system. And I feel like in that time, it had to have hit the Virtual Boy. It's not nearly as expensive as the other ones, but it's still gone up. Like $700 for the Virtual Boy in five games. But that's keep in like fan. Yeah. But the thing... I so badly wish that I could have played that. It felt like it was like the KB Toys exclusive kind of thing. You know, it was always in the front. And yes. There's always somebody on it, so there's no chance I would ever try it. I'm gonna go play with my Ronin Warriors now.
It's funny because we went to the same KB Toys, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I never got to experience that all red screen right in my eyes.
What's up with this controller? Was this the precursor to the GameCube controller?
It's not far off. It's a great controller. It's a really legit good controller. Yeah. It's really good.
Ergonomically, it looks amazing.
It is. And the buttons are where it makes sense. So if you're not looking at it's all great. It's a good control. It's a good system. It did not get a fair shake, sadly. It's better than the fucking Game Gear, that's for sure. I had both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't have a Game Boy. I had the winning systems.
That's basically what happened with the Dreamcast, Ryan. I ended up getting that literally the month that it just got killed off. But there was still a sick backlog of games that were now kind of cheap. So I guess that was the good thing.
Do you guys remember the GameCom? Tiger Electronics put out, it was supposed to be like, it connects to the internet, which was a brand new thing at the time. So it was like, it's going to be real cool. We're going to have all sorts of interactive games that you can play with your friends. And then none of them ever actually came out. Because it was like this.
That's such a
game console bummer. That nobody ever actually had. I had one. It also came with like a stylus and I played the Jurassic Park game on it. But you would turn it on and be like, GameCom active. About.
Once you said the stylus.
It had a stylus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it like a DS kind of thing? Or a PSP, but you can use a stylus on it?
It was like a Game Gear that had a stylus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because it was one color. It wasn't... It was kind of like a evolution of the Game Boy.
Okay.
But pretty like, freaking sick. You're going to be able to get on the internet with this. And no, you're not.
Woof. Did any... Man, when did that really start to take off? Like, who did that right first? Was it Dreamcast? Probably. Fantasy Star?
The internet was probably Dreamcast.
Yeah.
They were the first...
For consoles.
Xbox came shortly after, but I played a lot of Fantasy Star Online.
Well, my next game has nothing to do with any of the softball segues that I've tossed up in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
But I'll go back to when I was saying that the controller's it looked very ergonomical for the Virtual Boy and how it looks like it's very easy to hit all these buttons. And I'm also not going to use that either. Anyways, so... So my game is actually fast forward to rather recently to 2021. We've actually covered this on Experience Grind before. I believe we've had a guest on. It's a game that I never want to play again, but I think about Returnal all the time. I actually am kind of going in with the controller thing, because this is one of those really hard bullet heli roguelike like insanely hard games that once you really get into it and you're in like your 60th hour of dying and restarting everything all over again, you're doing like the weird wrapping your hand over the top of the controller claw thing, so your pointer finger's using the hitting the right analog stick. Guys, I would wake up 3 hours before work every day to play this game. And that's like 4 hours.
That's commitment.
That's a madman. That's what a madman does.
I was obsessed, guys. I was obsessed. I love this game so much. The graphics, beautiful. The ambiance, like...
it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It's unsettling. You finding your own body everywhere with these tapes. And, like... this should have been a game that I just wouldn't have liked at all. It has all of the pieces of something that I don't want to play. You know, something that's ridiculously hard that's going to frustrate me. You die, you start everything over. All intents and purposes, shouldn't have liked it. But I couldn't put it down. The story and the lore and the music, like, I just wanted to keep getting every little nugget of information that I could. And I know our good friend Micah has uninstalled this, reinstalled it, uninstalled it, reinstalled it like 17 times. And bless that man, I think he actually platinumed the game. I have no intention of ever reinstalling it, playing it again. So I don't need to, but I'll never stop thinking about it.
Do you have a dream about Returnal? It? Yeah, it is a really good game. I do agree. Like, the soundtrack really hooks you. And yeah, on paper, it's not one that you would like. It's not one I would generally like. I mean, it takes its hit. The bullet hell thing is a hard one for me. But it is really, really, the atmosphere just sucks you in, man.
Mm-hmm. And like the little details that are hidden everywhere that... if you weren't looking for them, it doesn't even matter. But if you see them, it means so much more and adds so much more to what you're experiencing. And that's what the show is about, right? The experiences we had along the way.
Get it, so it's nice little touches, yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those experiences that I will cherish.
I am not surprised this is your game. I am surprised, and I think I learned something about you tonight, about the aversion to difficulty. I would have thought you were somebody who is drawn to difficult games, because at least from what I've seen, you play games with very high skill caps and skill level like bars to step over. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of surprised to hear that, because I associate hard games with you.
Well, I guess. That's a good point. I guess less so in terms of because it's so hard, but I just don't. I don't generally find Souls-like games very enjoyable. I guess is more the point. Like, I do like hard games, but a game that just requires that level of patience. I mean, I'm a patient man, but this motherfucker got ADHD like crazy. So.
That makes sense. That's a good clarification. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a good point. I'm glad that we were able to do this, because once I heard you say that, I'm like, man, I sound like a bitch now.
Well, and I just can't imagine why you don't like difficulty, because like even like Ultimate Chicken Horse, you make like look like a child's drawing the way you fucking nimble about.
Well, that's because that's not shit. Hard. Like, you guys are just terrible.
Ooh, oh, God,
I
that's why I don't.
Well, that's fine.
That's funny, because I've always found that there's a learning curve on some games, and if you miss the first few playthroughs with people, you might as well not even try, because you're never catching up.
Yeah.
That was my experience with GoldenEye, actually, playing with my cousin Mitchell. He owned an N64, had the game, and just had every map memorized. So the first time I played it, it was no fun, and I never played again. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is stupid. I just keep getting killed as soon as I spawn. I'm done.
It's like people that would get Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl because he can't get caught, and you just run around and be like, oh. There's a Family Guy bit about it.
Brian, is there any surprise, though, that Mitchell would find so much joy in having a game that he knew he could beat everybody at, and he only played against people who didn't have an N64?
I can hear him laughing, too.
Makes
completely
you
unsurprised. Oh, yeah, that was the worst
part. Laughing as he kills you for, like, the third time. Like,
this isn't even fun, man.
Yeah, and you know he was looking at your screen the whole time.
Oh, of course. Oh.
Yeah.
A little peeker.
Screen peek is part of the game.
I would do it too, but it didn't mean anything because I didn't know the maps.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, Shad, before. Oh, go ahead, buddy.
I was just similar to Brian. Actually, not the same story, but I had kind of a similar thing with Hades. Like the first couple of times that I played it over the years, I would play for like, I don't know, an hour and be like, this game, like, why does everybody like this game? And it's just because I had no time to learn it, or I was missing something, like you missing the knowledge of those maps, or, you know, that just doesn't give you that joy, until I went back and I was like, oh, I am just not doing this very simple and very important mechanic.
Maybe that's what my problem is with Ultimate Chicken Horse.
That's
is that how we ended up here?
You have to jump. All is one.
What does X do?
Depends on
the
system.
I'm supposed to hit the buttons on the controller. Got it.
Yeah, before you went, Sean, I was convinced I might have the latest game on here. And I don't know why. I think like there's always something, like sometimes there's a song. Or as we kind of referenced a little bit in I saw the TV glow. Sometimes there's like a TV show or a movie that's just weird or whatever. And for some reason, it just hooks into you. And nobody else really hears about it. Nobody else really cares about it. And I don't even know why. But there's this weird Xbox 360 game called Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom, which is just like a semi-standard 3D action adventure game where, like, you have this, you're this, like, somewhat special mage guy, and you, like, have to get back to your kingdom with the benefit of, like, this ogre troll thing that as you progress through the game, he gets different sorts of abilities that he can, like, I think he can turn to fire and just different things. And it's just, like, solving these puzzles with these two characters. Like, your guy can't fight really, so like you have to like lead the ogre and enemies to each other so he can take them out. And it's just like a lot of cool interactive fun stuff that for whatever reason hit me at the time, and I think I probably got it on sale at like a GameStop for like $20 one day because it looked somewhat interesting, and I think I like knocked it out. I got platinum or whatever you get on 360. Yeah, see, he has it. That's the troll guy that you control.
I like that.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I platinumed him like in the weekend that I played it. And not that it was short. Like, I just remember like staying up really late because I didn't want to stop playing it. And it's just one of those, like, I think about all the time. I haven't ever really replayed it, but I'm always like, man, that game was awesome. I liked that game and it brings me joy. So it's just like, it's a feeling more than like anything really specific about the game, but I really like that one and I think about it a lot. So
this certainly looks like an Xbox 360 game.
100%. Like, it's all really the weird. It's overall kind of generic, which is weird that it does sort of stick with me so hard. 'Cause it is sort of just like, it's a mid-budget game from like a mid-budget studio probably that doesn't exist and went out of business in like 2007 or some shit, you know. So
I'm gonna be honest, I've never even heard of this game. So when Ryan just held up that game box of this, who you heard Kyle reference, I was very surprised. I'm like, am I the only one that has never heard of this?
No, like I said, most people haven't. It was, like I said, it was, there's no marketing. I just happened to see it and I was like, hey, what's this? And like I said, it was probably like $20 or something. And I was like, ah, fuck it. Yeah.
Who's that?
I knew Ryan. Ryan's like the only other person I knew that had heard of this. So
for the same reason, this is $20. Hey, what is this? I'll buy it.
This, looking at a couple of screen caps from this, it does look like a game that just kind of looks like something you would pick up. And now knowing that it was really just based off, it was a couple of dollars, I can't even connect those dots, but it, parts of it kind of look like a colorful Shadow of the Colossus, but sure, with like meets Fraggle Rock.
It has very like Sneak King aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just Sneak brightly King. Cartoony and yeah.
That's where you go, huh?
Bright
Sneak cartoony King. Sneak King. That well, classic.
It's also like I do want to emphasize it is somewhat cheap looking.
It's not Sneak King cheap.
No, it's not. I'll give you that. 100%.
Okay, but I forgot all about Sneak King until this moment. And man, has there ever been a better brand tie-in video game?
Wow. That and the kart racer. I wish I had them still.
The pocket bike pocket racer? Bike
racer.
Yeah, I think they had like a Sneak Burger King King racing one too. It was a kart racer. They had Sneak King and that you could get. I think there was a third one too.
There was like a bumper car game. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was not very good.
Was it not?
Big Bumpin' is not worth the $3 it costs or $2.
I had no idea what you guys were talking about. Buy another Whopper. Until you've never heard of Sneak King?
Oh,
as soon as you said Burger King, like you unlocked a brain commercial.
That was a cool time.
Yeah.
It was huge. It like got memed out, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Imagine in the Forsaken Kingdom. I have another game, but you guys, like we said, we'll have to listen to our Patreon to get that one.
I was just thinking, I fucked up. I actually, in one of my two was going to be on the Patreon because I feel like the story about this third one's much more interesting, but you guys are going to have to sign up and tune in to find out what that
I guess if you want to hear Sean's most interesting pick, you have to join in Patreon.
It's gonna
that's a good sell. It's gonna if awesome. You want another mid amount of interesting, I've got another one of those too. Yeah. So you can tune in for that as well.
Well, and the interest, interest of racing to that Patreon episode, I'm going to talk about my next game. I don't know if you picked up my segue there.
I did.
It's a game I played in college called Need for Speed Underground 2.
Ooh, oh, I love both of them.
Dude, the Need for Speed games movie. Is there a Need for Speed movie? Probably. The games were always fun. Nice. I like a good racing game, but Need for Speed Underground 2 was something special to me.
I kind of want Need for Speed Underground. Magical.
I bought a new laptop and I was like, all right, I'm going through college, doing my thing. I found a game because, well, let's just say there was a lot of interlinking systems on campus where you could download pretty much anything you wanted. Somebody had a full version of Need for Speed Underground 2, and I was like, well, let's see if my computer can handle it. And it could.
I need to study.
And I got sucked in, and it's the first open world Need for Speed game. And I was like, this is what this franchise has needed. I need to drive to the races now.
Mm-hmm.
And just the customization of the cars. I'm big into customization, as you will find out in the Patreon episode to come. But
Mario Paint.
Hey, don't call my shot like that. No, it's not Mario Paint. Again, didn't have Nintendo systems.
The thing about Underground Sega is Paint. That the part of your car that does the least for your performance is what I spend the most on, and that's picking that perfect neon glow, baby.
You gotta just get the perfect glow
to hit the mood right.
Yeah, but the good thing is like they introduced a system with like style points, and if you got your car up to a 10, you could get featured on a magazine cover.
Ooh,
so dude, a fun game. They introduced so many new mechanics in that, and I think about it frequently.
There's mostly no when I'm reminiscing. I spent as much time on the vinyl on my car as I did, and getting like the perfect, pearlescent paint job or opalescent, like
And they introduced SUVs for the first time, guys. You could drive an Escalade or a Hummer. In fact, the opening scene has your car getting hit by a Hummer. And it turns out later in the game, it was the bad guy, because of course it was.
What? In a Hummer?
What perfect writing.
Man, I think about that.
That's awesome.
Often.
That's awesome. What a good one to get stuck. I like all of them.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely an eclectic mix of games.
Kyle knows that I can play racing games with my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all due to...
No, it's fighting games.
Well, I can do that, but I can just do full-on racing games just using my toes, because I got so good at Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, and I just played it nonstop, that I just wanted a different challenge. So I started like seeing if I could do it just using my toes on the sticks. And once I was able to do that,
as one does,
so I could shift with my pointer toes using an R1.
You need to go race Mitchell with your feet and blow his doors off because he's never played it, and turn it around.
And laugh at him the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I also feel like there's a prime YouTube channel.
Oh, absolutely.
Of just you playing games with your feet, and you're going to get a weird audience, but you're going to get an audience.
We're going to grow subs honestly, like that.
Honestly, this is not a bad idea. Feet Fridays with the Experience Grind.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be associated
Quentin
with the
Tarantino
experience.
Can only get so hard.
Do your own thing. Right? It's fine.
Like, don't do it.
First challenge, DuckTales with your feet. Film that. Let's pop that on the channel. Let's see what numbers that does.
Welcome to the Experience Grind Twitch. It's Foot Friday.
One version with socks, one version without socks. And then we can
you
test
put
metrics.
The socks
for 20
version,
gift subs, Sean will
version.
Write your name on his foot. Let's get him in here, people. Let's go. Come on.
For only last fans time, Foot Fridays. What?
For the last time, I know your name's not Daddy's Whore. So.
Am I right? And Tony here. What are we doing? Come on.
Tony. It's T-O-E-N-Y. Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Oh, I'll have a cake off to the side.
So good.
You know if you donate.
You're trying
first
to hit all the fans.
Piggies are getting dirty.
Smashing.
We got, man, let's just fucking whore Sean's feet out in the tire, boys. Come on.
I don't even care. No, Ryan wants nothing to do with it.
What I've been waiting for.
No, just, I think now that he's like, wait, retirement money. Yeah, let's get in on this. Let's whore out Sean's feet.
Income? Yeah.
For no work. Sean does all the work, but we split it four ways.
Yeah.
That's business 101 to me, baby.
I'll get a little like floor canvas and paint. Dude, that's not even joking.
We set down like 100 and you just walk over them in different colors and we sell them on Patreon for ridiculous amounts of money.
Let's go, YouTube. You don't even know what's going to hit you.
Yes. All right. Has everybody done their games?
I think so.
All
right. That's it, yeah. Well, until the Patreon.
Yeah, do that thing.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for bringing this. This was a lot of fun. It was really nice to have no homework going into this at all, listeners. That is what I'm about, doing foot stuff and no homework. That's my jam, baby.
Toe jam.
Who is up next? That's Brian.
I think it's Brian.
Oh, is it mine next?
Yeah.
It is.
Already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to how prepared I am for that.
Shall I go? Rotation in effect. Surprise.
Wow, that snuck up on me for sure.
Yeah.
I can't even see Brian's face anymore. He's blending in with that shirt.
It's a red shirt for the listeners there.
We can think about it later. You ain't got it. You can tell him to kiss your grits for now.
No, I have a few options here. I can narrow it down real quick.
Well,
he's on the spot. Go with that. The little man in the gut.
The little man in the gut is telling me that I kind of want to talk some animation.
Ooh.
But.
Everybody perked up like meerkats.
But I don't want to go full in on animation because that's a bit much. I kind of want to dip my toe cool in. World. And I want to talk.
The emoji movie.
About a 1992 movie featuring Brad Pitt known as Cool World.
Okay, the movie my dad would never let me rent. Let's go.
I have never even heard of this. Let's go.
You've never heard of that? That's a sexy lady.
That's
yeah.
Brad Pitt? Sexy cartoon lady.
Look it up.
It's played by Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is a sexy cartoon lady?
It is Brad Pitt at like prime beefcake. He's double rolling.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's
no. That's
fine. We're talking 92 Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Oh.
It's a good model.
Yeah. What is this movie?
I used to see this in the rental store all the time, and I always wanted to rent it because cartoon ladies give me.
I have never seen this box art, Giggity.
Huh.
That is a gigantic Tinkerbell. Holy shit. I am ready for some cool world. But that's awesome. Going to be next week.
And that I is love not when Sean gets week. New stuff. No.
But this Heck week, yeah. You have this episode. And then if you like this and you want to hear us talk a little bit more about games.
Is this Ralph Bakshi?
You say.
Bakshi? Ralph Bakshi?
Yes.
The animator?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're in for at least like really good animation.
Hell yeah.
He is known for like very fluid animation. I'm excited. Sorry.
You can go to patreon.com/experiencegrindpodcast possibly. I never quite know. Is it Experience Grind Podcast?
No, that's nope. That. It's just Experience Grind.
ExperienceGrind.com.
.com/ExperienceGrind. I should have that typed out, but I don't. Where, for as little as a dollar, you can hear all of our previous bonus episodes, and you'll hear this one when it releases on 7 a.m. Eastern on Friday. If you've listened this far, you probably enjoy our company and our voices. And if you like our company and voices that much, you'll like our Discord, which you'll find in the show notes below. Also there you'll find like socials and whatnot, but mainly just go to the Discord. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Thanks, boys. I'm ready to go talk about more games though.
Let's do it.
I got Kyle one more locked and loaded.
Hell yeah. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And Kyle, can you go let the listeners know what they can do?
Listeners, you can go
crossfire
yourselves.